My brothers and sisters, what does our Lord say? That every persecution, every trial, every suffering is supposed to lead to. He says it is to lead to your giving testimony. Now, our Lord is speaking in a specific way about the second coming, about the end of time, when the trials will be the worst. But every trial all down through the generations is a prelude to that which is to come, and even the trials in our own particular lives. And what is our Lord saying about every hardship that we are called to endure? It is an opportunity for you to witness to me. I looked up that word, testimony. It will lead to your giving testimony. When St. Luke wrote the Gospel, he wrote it in Greek. Do you know what the Greek word is for testimony? It is martyrion, from which we get the word martyr. Why were the martyrs called martyrs in the early church? Because it was the word for witnesses. And so the early Christians would say, these are the greatest witnesses we have. And it was that witness that confounded the world, that brought about the greatest number of conversions, because people would see them give their lives and think, gosh, what is worth giving your life for? And it began to open hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. It will lead to your giving testimony. A little 13-year-old girl got off a train in Krakow, Poland, at the end of World War II, after the Nazi regime had been defeated. And she was a survivor of one of the concentration camps. So she gets off this train with 200 other survivors. She is wearing her striped prisoner's uniform. This girl is literally starving to death. She is so weak and so exhausted. She sees a corner on the wall, and all she wants to do is go sit there, huddle up, and lay down and go to sleep. And she knows that she has another train to catch to get to her home country. She goes and she leans against the wall and she lays her head down on the ground. And as she's starting to drift into sleep, she knows that if she falls asleep, she will die. And she's okay with that. She doesn't want to live anymore. And all of a sudden, a young man in his mid-20s comes up to her and he has a warm cup of hot tea. She had not had anything warm in weeks since she entered the camp. And he tells her, you must drink this. And she starts to drink it. It tastes so good. Well, that young boy runs off. That young man runs off. And he comes back a couple of minutes later. And he has cheese and bread. And he forces her to eat. And she says, I don't want to eat. I want to sleep. And he says, no, you need your strength. You have several kilometers to walk to catch your next train. So she eats the bread and she eats the cheese and she stands up to begin this journey to the next train station. And as soon as she tries to take a step, she literally collapses in total exhaustion. That young man picks her up and he carries her those several kilometers so she can catch her train. And as he's carrying her, she says this to him, why are you doing this? There is no point to me in going on living. My entire family has died. And he said to her, I also have lost my whole family. I too am alone in this world. And he said these words to her, which remained engraved in her heart. He said, one must not give in to despair through suffering, but must fight to live with hope. She never forgot those words, and she never forgot that young man's name. And so she shared this story with all the world 35 years later, when she heard that name announced when the new Pope stood on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, and they said, Karol Wojtyla, who has taken the name John Paul II. John Paul II, living in an age of apparent hopelessness, especially in Poland during World War II, became a witness of hope. Last weekend, a number of you were present for the talk by Immaculate Ilibgiza, and I'll just give the most condensed form possible this amazing story. She was a survivor of the genocide in Rwanda, and when her father saw this coming, the government persecuting a certain tribe, he sent her daughter off into hiding. She went into a bathroom that was 3 feet by 5 feet. She thought she'd be in there a few days as this trial passed. She was in there for 91 days with five other women. They couldn't even lay down. They had to sit on top of each other. And the man in whose house they were hiding put a radio outside the window so that they could hear everything that was going on in the country. And they had to listen to on public radio about the slaughter of 1 million of their people, including her own mother and father and all of her siblings. And as she's sitting there, she began to be filled with rage, with anger, the desire for revenge. If she could just escape, she would do to those people what they were doing to hers. After a few days, she remembered that someone had given her a rosary that she had in her pocket. And so she decided she would start saying one rosary a day. And when she would say the rosary, as she prayed the Our Fathers, she would skip part of the Our Father. The part that says, as we forgive those who sin against us. Because she said, I can never forgive them. Well, she began to pray the rosary over and over because they couldn't even speak to each other for fear that someone might hear them. She said she would pray on average 30 rosaries a day. And one day as she's praying the rosary and she starts the Our Father, Our Father, it strikes her that she is not saying, my Father. And this light pierces her and she realizes that God is the Father of all. And if she wants His mercy, then she has to be merciful. And she knows that she's called to forgive people who have slaughtered her own family, all her people. After 91 days in that bathroom, when the genocide was finally over and she was free, she went and she found the man who was guilty of killing her family members. And she went up to him and she said, I want you to know that I forgive you. And that in Christ, I love you. When she gives her talks all around the world, sometimes this man accompanies her. You'll see her with her arm around him, smiling joyfully. Through what she suffered, she has become a witness of God's mercy to all the world. I want to share just one more. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading the writings of St. Paul, and I came upon that line where he says, all things work together for the good for those who love God. And I read that line and said, all things work together for the good for those who love God. And you think, does he really mean everything? And in the writings of St. Augustine, he adds something to that phrase. He says, all things, comma, including our sins. I met a woman one time who loved God greatly. And on one occasion she shared with me, she said, Father, there's something I have never told anybody, but I feel like I'm supposed to reveal it to you. It's the reason for the greatest sorrow in my life. It is what I'm most ashamed of. She said, a number of years ago, I had an abortion. I was in a dark time in my life. She said, Father, this will sound strange, but I am so thankful that our Lord allowed me to fall. She said, now don't get me wrong. If I could go back to that time in my life, I would never make that decision again. But I look back to that moment, and it was the beginning of my transformation. I believe my child, whom she believes was a little boy, began to intercede for me immediately. Because after that, my life started to change. She said, I now have the most profound relationship with Him. I entrust to Him so many of my prayers to present before God. I believe He's the one who is going to save me, my husband, his father, and his siblings. She said, I feel like one day I will be called to share that with others. And that woman will become a witness of life and a witness of the power of our Lord's redemption, who wants to redeem us from everything. There is no trial, no hardship that we cannot face with faith and with hope and with love. And it is that witness which will draw so many other souls to Christ. Our Lord closes the gospel today. He says, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. May we ask for the grace to persevere in faith, hope, and charity.